Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit, coming to you. We trust you are well. As we said earlier on, I'll be talking to Lebo from Strew Movement. She's on the line. Hey, Lebo.
Good evening, Pastor Rick. Good evening to our listeners.
I hope you are well.
I'm absolutely well and blessed. No complaints in this part of the world.
Because Batu nebay le Cape Town, so abaro bala hai, you know, and konaba So I'm happy you are well. You were not in Cape Town, eh?
No, I wasn't, Pastor.
Oh, okay. You were at home, all right. No, that's
I was at home. No. And I slept at home.
Yeah, that sounds innocent enough for me. I really
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's validation. Thank you.
Now we are going to talk about the boundaries that should be there, you know, especially with the in-laws of the opposite gender. You find that at times there are illicit relationships that develop. Things you never thought they would come about, you find them happening. The only reason that people would give in terms of them being found out, they go like, no, one thing led to another. I don't know what that means.
Yes.
You know, because that's the cause. You basically are saying to the person, the cause of the nature of things took place. It's so arrogant to actually say that. Now, these boundaries are very important. There must be boundaries between one and their in-laws. There are moral boundaries, value boundaries, boundaries of respect, boundaries of holiness, boundaries of faith, and boundaries that are of freedom. You know, freedom has boundaries. Many people think that freedom is just license. You just gallivant where you want. No! Freedom has boundaries. Much of the times you would find also that unhealthy relationships develop between one and the in-laws, especially the opposite genders. Either they would extremely hate one another, or they would really, really do things that would really set, you know, the marriage that the one is in into the rocks. And this is one of the things that is happening. I don't know. You know, long ago, when I was still in the streets, man, you would pick up books, and then, you know, these comic books, I remember reading the story that says, "Die verkeerde sister." This guy.
The wrong sister.
Yeah, die verkeerde sister. I remember very well. I mean, I was about 12 or 13, but I read that comic. And this guy basically blurs the boundaries between him and his sister-in-law, who is actually the younger sister to his wife. And they develop a relationship. And it leads to illicit things, and it leads to sexuality and all those kinds of things. Stuff. Okay. And he ends up divorcing the wife and marrying the sister. This is so crazy. And I am reminded of this when we were doing a research on this topic, in that if there are no proper boundaries, there will be illicit relationships that develop, or there will be uncanny associations that develop between one and members of the opposite gender. Even if one would say, "Now I am restricting myself," they will come on you. You know, even when you say, even when they say, "No, they are restricting," that you will come on them, you know, and, you know, try to establish a fling and stuff and flirt with them. It's very important to establish boundaries. Lebo?
Yeah, it's a very tough space. And unfortunately, it's also a space that's not supposed to be outward-looking as much as it is supposed to be inward. So it's not so much how much people come after you, but it's more how much you care about yourself. You know, to some extent, because if that were the case, I think we'd fall for anything and everything, really, you know. So you've said quite a mouthful. I've noted quite a lot of things that get affected, or what certain things should mean as a foundation or a basis of what should be a healthy marriage. This is very tricky, especially when it involves what you want to consider family members, because often it finds you with your guard down. You think, oh, there's my sister, and then sister strategically dresses in a particular way, you know, or there's my brother, and strategically notices the weaknesses that your spouse, and they kind of ledge on those, you know. So the very manipulative space, and where you cannot necessarily blame the outsider from a marriage. But what we're concerned with is the one within a marriage to say, why are yours not up enough? Why are your guards that often down? I perceive that's the question we're really trying to ask. So in answering maybe, or an attempt to understand what this is what is boundaries really, you know? And boundaries really is like a demarcation, you know, or a line, you know, how did it bother us, et cetera. It's really about drawing something in a particular space and a particular distance. And you drawing it is like, why is it a yard, you know? Or from this point to that point is mine, from that point to that point is my neighbor's. So to have healthy boundaries, even with family in particular, and for your household, and for your marriage, is to really be able to mark it and draw her, and my smile, my conversations are meant for my wife. My concerns are to be shared with my wife, because half the time in such relations, you find that they start availing themselves over comfortable enough to complain about your wife to them, and they take advantage of that. Or comfortable enough to talk about your husband to them, you know? And then they start taking advantage of that situation and make themselves better and elevate themselves in your eyes, which is how these unsavory attachments end up happening, you know. So to set boundaries really is to say, when I have a problem, this is a person, when I'm concerned that my wife's lateness, my wife's cooking, she's the one to raise those risks. We're quick to seek help. We're quick to call the sibling to say, hey, I'm worried about your sister. Your sister is not so keen. Can you call them? And maybe instead of that is to call the elders. Even then, it's a bit problematic, because the marriage is for you two to form and to move forward with it. Because sometimes we even invite the mothers, the in-laws, that when they come, they want to take over and start criticizing the other. It just becomes messy. So to set boundaries really is to be able to say, my mom can come in, but up to this point. My sister can come in up to this point. Or her sister can come in, but up to this point, you know, et cetera. So we're not putting measures. We're not putting boundaries. We're not defining our spaces enough to can say, you can walk, you have rights up to your land. Is if there's a borderline, I'll fix a motorcycle passport, and your passport will be my wife. Unless my wife asks me to talk to you about your failing relationship, I will not talk to you about it, because you end up wanting to cry on my shoulders. I said, so let get it, Molly. I'm unable to push you back. It must be determined, or entry at this level is my wife. You know, you have no free passport, no free visa.
You know, the very aspect of setting up boundaries has become a very big problem, you know, in that much of the times, many people have actually failed to understand that boundaries are set with a purpose, and there's an aim why the boundaries are there. And one should learn to acknowledge that, isn't it?
That is so true. And who's the first setter of boundaries?
If not
the one we emulate, that is God himself. Because marriages are a metaphor of our relationship with God. So he, even when he initiated this institution, some of the solid things I was thinking about earlier was just the very rule that you really should leave everybody else behind, especially your mother and father, and even to your wife. This is more articulated to clearer for husband, husband in particular. You know? So this God is aware that there's, with the in-laws, there's some toxicity that comes. So without barriers or boundaries, toxicity comes in. It's an opportunity for poison to enter your marriage, basically. So God set those specific so you may have a good marriage, a happy marriage. So the purpose is to really start a family that is happy. It's intentional. So you have to get into it with intention to be happy. It has to be purposeful. I'm going to raise healthy children. I'm going to be happy with myself. I'm, you know, intentional. So that's the purpose of the boundaries, to intentionally create a healthy environment, a beautiful marriage, a beautiful home.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. When we come back, we are going to look into instances of boundaries that are being blurred, because it is good to speak about this, you know, subjectively, if one would say. But if we place it there so that it comes onto the pedestal and everyone can see and see how we blur the boundaries, we will be looking into that coming up next.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Pulapula iRadio Pulpit. Ukhanyiseleke kweli lizwe elimnyama. Zivulele ngokwakho iapp yethu okanye umamele ku radiopulpit.co.za. Siyafumaneka ku DSTV Audio Channel 882. Ukanti sikhona na ku OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Share the love, share the truth, share the life on 657 AM.
657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit. We trust God is doing you good. And of course, we are talking about setting the boundaries, especially when there seems to be now a development of illicit relationships between one and the in-laws of the opposite gender. You know, this thing happens. And examples would be that, you know, a trust that is easily misplaced. You know, you trust me because I'm a Christian. And you actually do not know some of the things I'm capable of when I'm alone. And
am I talking about the spouse or the relative? Who am I not?
The spouse.
Okay.
The spouse, yeah. And of course, also, that, you know, I know my spouse won't do whatever
wouldn't.
It is
that, Echelor,
yes, wouldn't, yeah, wouldn't do that, you know, yeah, yeah, they wouldn't do such a thing, you know, and
never, not
like that. That is the aspect. And, of course, also, I can tell you without doubt that we also find, amongst other things, that, you know, relatives can be jealous of their own sister's spouse or their own brother's spouse. And they may try to mess it up. Others would say, wow, my brother seems to be having a good time there, you know, or my sister seems to be having a good man there, you know. And perhaps maybe they see how you're happy, and at times how you would say, when they ask you, how are you? How are things at home? You'd say, wow, happy. I'm content and stuff. And they say, wow, I want to taste that, you know, and be content too, and all those kinds of things and stuff. And you trust your spouse for the boundaries, but they blur the boundaries. The boundaries also, when they are blurred and illicit things develop, is when you don't check on the relationship that develops between your spouse and the in-laws, to be within the boundaries of holiness, as you have said. And thirdly, it is when also you basically allow them to be on their own longer than necessary. Yeah? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. These things you are doing, not because you are aware that you are doing them.
Yeah, ask you the premise. There must be a level
yes.
of trust. I think you mentioned trust
yeah.
being broken down at some
yeah.
point.
But the premise, the premise is that we said, I know my spouse wouldn't do that. So you wouldn't bother yourself to remind him of the boundaries. Why, you wouldn't bother yourself because
anyway.
You have a relationship of trust with him. If he sees your sister as his sister too, you understand? He knows that this is my sister. I can't be engaged with my sister in a sexual way, you know, in an illicit way. So you also take that, not necessarily for granted, but you have a relationship of understanding and trust with your spouse that that is not where to go. It's not even debatable, this thing. Neither would anyone say, remember now I'm leaving you with my sister. You, I see you. I'm pitting her. No, you wouldn't be saying that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
The interesting part, I'm thinking as you're saying what you're saying now, Hore, your premise, literally, with the statement you just made, Hore, it's obvious, you know? It's an unwritten rule, you must know. You know? And we never really get to a point of saying, these are the boundaries in our marriages. Should my nephew, should my niece, should my sister come to you crying? This is how we approach it. So we are in marriages that have not set boundaries anyway. We're sitting with the, it's a given, it's obvious. That's how a person should behave without really saying it. Whereas next door is actually a practice, they live like that. So then you're curious enough to say, why is it not happening? So we're not saying this is how our life, we don't define our life. That's the external world entices us, because there's no wall anyway. We didn't throw the bank anyway. And I think maybe that's what we should be premising from, to say, have we said as a couple, to say, these are the do's and don'ts in our marriage. My sister will always come, and will you cope? Or maybe Roman, please dress appropriately. I need to respect my husband. So once you've set those boundaries, you are also able to communicate them.
Reinforcement.
We don't consciously set the boundaries.
Yeah.
We therefore do not communicate them to the people. That's why most of the time, because we are the ones who didn't put up the walls.
Yeah. You know, we are the ones who didn't put up the walls. You know, much of the times also, well, that's funny. Much of the times also, you have to put up walls now.
Those are boundaries.
It's like you're a bricklayer now, you must be putting up walls and stuff. You know, sometimes it just happens, that the aspect of saying to yourself, I trust my little sister, and I trust my husband, I trust my older sister, I trust my niece who's coming in to stay with us, even if she's of age and all those kind of things and stuff. And it's not to realize one time...
Of age and of logic.
Yeah, you of age and logic, both. You start to realize when you come to your home... she stays there, but you find some things that you didn't think you would find at your place, like a pack of condoms or what, lying dormantly, carelessly somewhere in one's drawer and some, and you start asking yourself what is going on. Or in her, when sometimes you go into a room and stuff, and you look up for her, are you comfortable, all that, blah, 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 blah. It happens at times, okay, since we are doing the washing, let me take also hers. She's out maybe into the mall and stuff. You start to see these things. And perhaps sometimes you see a message, on the phone or on her phone, or sometimes, because this is a story, when someone said, And my husband called her while she was with me at the mall. He didn't know that she was with me at the mall. She basically was supposed to be at home at our mother's place. But since she was coming over, I said, okay, let's meet at the mall. And she had already communicated that since I am at the mall, she will come by and my husband will be there. And the usual would be happening. Serious case study. And these people are Christian.
No boundaries. Lena self like something to household.
Why were not that?
Like, where's the respect? One of the things I was noting with your opening remarks, I think what needed to come in, you mentioned respect somewhere. The morality. Do we have honest conversations about our moral values and the family values, you know? So that I think then we can be more conscious and in check of some of these things, you know? Because with boundaries set and that respect the other, I think that's where our fullness happens, and that's where the fullness of the marriage would come, the excitement, the beauty of the marriage would come, you know, because things like these would really be communicated, because then what you could immediately do is force the posturing. You stand upright, you know, you stand like a man. So Hanzo Ushedi Sakhungu Kase, you don't seem like a man, you know, you're boyish in a way. And what feeds the immaturity, the boyishness, is not knowing how to be men. In a marriage. Because once you can have these conversations and say, this is what our marriage is, and this is how we behave in our marriage, that's when we are able to stand for something. Right now, we literally walk in as men, as boys and girls into marriages, which is why I wouldn't mind or my brother-in-law is visiting, and we're not respectably or respectfully, and we misread and misunderstood this freedom that we live in post-94, particularly as a society. We are way too free. We perceive freedom in marriages to be promiscuous. It's like permission for promiscuity. We just don't set boundaries. We have not designed and decided what marriage is. We've given permission from the promiscuity. That's why we're not teaching our children or training them to dress appropriately. There are things that should come with a level of innocence. There's a certain way that communicates respect. Interviewing. You dress appropriately. But we come home and we take our homes for granted.
All right. When we come back, let's touch in the issue of effects.
Become active, active in faith. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. From your ear, to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
I'm talking to Lebo from Stru Ministries, Stru Movement, Stru Productions. Hey, Lebo. And of course, it's broad, this vision. It's broad. And it's going places. People should start subscribing, you know. And see what's going on. If I was in the street, I would say, and see what aguan, which means, and see what aguan, you know. Anyway, there are effects that come with these kinds of boundaries blurred and illicit affairs happening between one and their in-laws. Number one, the relationship between the families is going to be tarnished, if not forever. You know, it's going to be tarnished so bad, you know. There are people who are not going to recover from that. And number two, the marriage is going to be on the rocks, on the brink. If that marriage holds on, it will be by the threads of grace. It's not very much likely that you would see marriages standing on, unless one lies and says, no, it is your younger sister, she started all these things and I was drunk, you know, she drugged me. How? No, she drugged me. I was drunk, therefore. Number three is that there can be children, Lebo. There can be children that would be born. These kids would suffer the consequences of being given bad names. Bo Uvela P, Makakala, Nyoso. You know, all these bad.
Give us a call who even undertake naming.
Yes, they name this one because, you know.
Associating them with the
Because Utlisite Hupotri wa Mumumtsing. Yeah.
And I think Tanisha Tibikivati, you know, by virtue of naming this child,
they expose it. Yeah, they expose it. To show you that these are demonic acts, the devil would want to expose it anyway. And fourthly, there would always be what we call mistrust. The relationship between the wife and the sister, her own sister there, or the one who is in the in-law, the one who is the in-law of the spouse, and the spouse, the relationship would be tarnished. It would be broken. Look, I have seen this. A guy gets a beautiful house and marries this woman. And he brings his own brother who must study at some TVET college. And when he is gone, his brother, his younger brother, and his wife were doing things that cannot be mentioned. You know what happened? She ran away with the younger brother. So these things are happening. And what Baba Bian? Give all the time, but it's a book, Franklin, Libo Mangma. Yeah. Lebo.
Hey, it's a very sad scenario. We've become a broken community, a broken society, a broken nation eventually. We've become so uncaring, so devilish in posture. You cannot do that which you know is going to break the other. And the sad part is we don't only hurt the person that is with us at that particular time, but we hurt the child that gets to be born under such circumstances because they are brought up with shame. So it's like their coming is already cursed. So they have not taken no say in who they become or what becomes of their life. So they're going uphill, they're going against the current in trying to be a worthwhile somebody in life, you know. I imagine a scenario where in our culture in particular, to try and cover up the shame, would even force the spouse to take care of the child and raise the child and give them the surname, irrespective of the pain that which it brings, just to look at and raise this child. Of course, there's forgiveness and acceptance and the maturity to say, Joanna, I will not punish this child for the sins of the parents, you know. But it just creates such a forced, painful environment, and we consciously hurt one another. And this is the behavior, the posturing, the issue I have with us as human beings, especially those who purport to be like God, to be followers of Christ, when we know that you would not break a reed, you know, then which path of Christ are we really following through our marriages? By creating broken homes, hating spouses, more so creating broken offspring who are now being forced into a space just because of my mistake. So they get to pay, not even a mistake, because this is usually not a mistake. But shayela bilaka etile my greed. So we're creating just those environments deliberately and consciously. This is by and large an act of irresponsibility and unaccountability. There's no way you can expect to plant a seed and think it will not sprout. When you even water it, it's even worse. Baba maybe the ubuela high five high 20. Then the outcome comes, that's the only time we consider breaking up. Now that you are caught, where was your conscience all along? What was the justification, your explanation of behaving like that in the first place? How do you explain it? It's only that you're refusing to grow up, you're refusing to be a man, you're refusing to be a woman. It shouldn't have happened. Those boundaries are supposed to be set in the first place. And if you felt, because how it starts is when you find room to complain about your spouse to your younger brother, to his younger brother, and say, hey, abutaka hoizan kesepite. Then the younger brother feels the need. Initially, it's a guilt trip. We make you feel guilty enough to say, I want to close the gap, yeah, abutaka, or yeah, my relative, or whatever the case may be. And eventually, in closing that gap, you've already been lured into something you shouldn't have been a part of. Be a Joseph, run
away. Slice at Oti.
Because you agree once.
And then it happens for good.
You get hooked, you will not be able to come out.
You know, the other effect is also that it would destroy the relationship of the offsprings. You know, it would make offsprings either to become strangers or to grow up with conceptions, especially the young ones, since their minds are so soft. One realizes when they've grown up as to how soft their minds were, because there are things that had affected them in childhood. They still harbor a philosophy, or they've drawn a philosophy around that thing, even in old age. Yes.
Sorry, Pastor. As you're saying, exactly what you're saying. You should. There's a speaker. He's a doctor, Dr. Gabo Mate. You know, they research the impact of childhood to adulthood, and it's literally things like these that either destroy the attachment of a child. They just create such an atmosphere that we have children. It breeds terrible disease. Those diseases, simple things that sound so fashionable. Your ADHD. We try to manage it, or else we're not dealing with the causes. And the causes, literally, children have manifest these diseases because of the environment we raise them in at home.
That's the thing.
That's exactly what happens. They become drug addicts because of those environments that we nurtured them in at home. We forced certain things. They sit with that pain. They don't know how to deal with it. The best way to that is alcoholism. The best way to deal with it is promiscuity. The best way to deal with it, so they look for attachment.
Crime and stuff,
To fill this gap, this hurt, to clear the void, the pain. They're looking for acceptance. Ghost writing.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we look into solutions as to what can be done with this. As we see the culmination of things, so sad, I say.
Radio Buzzing of Life, 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It's 657 AM.
657 medium wave. I'm talking to Lebo. Why? Oh, no, Tomoka. I'm talking to Lebo. You're giving people an impression of the things we speak. And stuff. But we can't say some of these things, but we'll try. Because we are coming to the aspect of solutions with regards to this. It happens much of the times. And I believe there is no problem that doesn't have solutions. And one should say then, without a doubt, that in most cases, we are people who would be hurt by this and continue in the hurt and not opt for solutions, you know. Or sometimes we would take decisions that are not actually the right solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And people are hurt here. And it's very easy to say, because someone saw this thing, after seeing this thing, went on and wanted to shoot his or her own sister, you know. Or someone saw this thing and basically went on to shoot his own brother, you know. Look, if you find them in a swimming, sometimes you should just say, no, man, you know, you can't be swimming with my wife. No swimming pool, no thing. Oh man, she's my sister-in-law. Regala le polo. Sorry, don't do that. Unless relebo bothle, but don't do that. You know, boundaries. I'm going back to what you said. They need to be enforced. And then you said, horror muntu eba le podi savya dong. I think utanzu be scorpion. You know, you must actually look into. You know your husband. You can see, and in the spirit, you can see Hurking Ekamu Wisang if he's not careful or if he yields to a temptation. You know your own sister. You know your own brother. You know what is it. You know, and you know your wife. You know what is it that can make her to really fall to your brother's charms and all those things. Preventative measures are needed. You know, as they say, prevention is better than cure. You know. Better to be safe than sorry. We've seen people becoming infected with diseases. Because this thing has happened, you know. And then bringing those diseases into their own marriages. It's quite sad. Solutions that are workable. Boundaries. One should articulate. And if there are things that you should look and say, okay, I know my sister, and I'm not saying my sister is a what-what, but I wouldn't allow my sister to come and stay with her. Even though I want to help, I'd rather help her from a distance. You know, I'd rather help her from a distance rather than hosinye hedilo. You know, I'd rather work from a distance. And you explain, it's not that I don't trust you. It's simply because I don't trust how things may develop. What say you there?
Yeah, it's a very tough space. One of the things we find difficult to do with family in particular is to be able to say yes or no. You know, when you start saying no to everything, you feel like they will think you're rejecting them and disowning them as a family. You know? And I think to set boundaries, to set healthy boundaries, is to be able to say, I'm sorry, I gave back. And that's the one position we refuse or we struggle to find ourselves in or put ourselves in. Whereas it is meant to protect a beautiful thing that's supposed to happen. But the difficulty with us is getting into marriage thinking we're getting into a honeymoon phase forever. It's some fairy tale as you see it on TV. The beauty or the reality of starting and getting into a marriage is to envision what you want your marriage to be. It's to be able to say, this is what we want, and this is the kind of life we want. And for this quality of life to exist, it means cutting out certain frills or behaving and acting in a particular way. So you do that. And also you must understand that as soon as you can confide in the other or find comfort in the other, you're already stealing an opportunity from your wife. To do that with another is theft from your spouse. So, but it needs your level of consciousness of what are the do's and don'ts of a marriage. So we get into a marriage and we don't quite
drill down to the realities and the truth or the risk. We don't do risk assessments. I think we've talked about this. And the risk assessment would be, I know my sister, I know my brother, you know. And more than anything else, it's knowing my own weaknesses, where people may capitalize on what would be my weaknesses. I work late, I work 7 days a week so that we can have the lifestyle we have. So I'm hardly home, so I hardly cook supper. Now, suddenly my sister's bringing supper every day or cooking for one or capital and it's only available. So we need to agree on those ground rules to say, like, and this is the nature of my job. Are you able to care for the children? How do we pick it up in the event that I have to work late? Rather than allowing the sister to come. Maybe I cook one Sunday also, give Abela the week. We prepare, we do it. We need to have teams in marriages. The one thing that makes this to happen is because we're not a team anyway. So people find a crack and they capitalize on the cracks in the marriage. Purely because we didn't decide what marriage we wanted from the onset.
You know, I believe also that it is important to actually say, please, you know, don't bring, you know, don't bring your sister, you know, without us agreeing after a serious, considerate prayer. Or, you know, sometimes we like just to do things, and these things end up biting us, you know. Our kindness at times is miscalculated.
Thank you.
To an extent that we basically overrule common sense and common sense, you know. Sometimes you just see, just see with no la, over again.
You know, I was questioning myself this morning, funny enough, but I remember those moments where your spouse would be like, hey, you go high or so. And Moshebora, Motaka, JP, you know, I can fix this. So, especially as women, we fix us, you know, what seems not to be working well, et cetera, and we become overly accepting and opening some of these doors. You know, so we do have exactly that. Don't want to design anything. I can change these signs around. It can be true. I can fix this. I'm a nurturer. I'm a life giver. I can give life even to this relationship.
Yeah.
You know? And you've been cautioned about certain things from the onset. So we just have that tendency. But I like what you said about being able to say no to a situation, you know. We need to be designing or being in marriages that one can be safe enough, that are trustworthy. I need to be able to say no and you trust my no, because it's got no ill intentions. Half the time, when your partner or your spouse says no to something, that's when we come up with a false accusation, or, you know, that type of a thing, or this and this sounds happy. Just because this happened yesterday doesn't mean I'll do it today. So we're full of accusations, and we little on the trust side. And the trust side is, can we run that relay match together? You know, can I trust you to run through where I cannot run through, to see what I cannot see? Can we be back-to-back to one another, and can I trust your opinion? And I think if we have trust issues with our spouses, maybe that's the beginning. Let's start re-looking at each other and seeing if we can trust each other's feedback about the situation. But for those who are finding themselves in that situation, honestly, there's a solution. The beginning is to say, what marriage do we want? Do we want to be in this marriage together? What do we anticipate? Do we want to have fun? Do we want to go on road trips? What do we want in this marriage? Once in a month, getaways. What do we want? How do we envisage? How do we see this marriage being? Then we set boundaries to protect that which we say. Boundaries are meant to protect what you already have. You know, so our council, the community schedule, you know, come adding your wealth, your everything must be covered and locked up nicely. You know, and then there must be forgiveness. You must be really willing to forgive, but there must also be remorsefulness at the same time. There must be one who's willing to and able to say, "Ha ka bona pila mo le kopong tshware." You know.
Absolutely.
So those ground rules are absolutely necessary, ground rules, and the openness, really. We cannot fear telling each other what we perceive or think of a situation. That's where the cracks end up coming in. Molochor, my sister, is easier to talk to about you not being home every day. Let my sister not be your comfort.
Absolutely. Wow. Lebo, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. And, of course, how do we connect with you?
On 0792140176, 0792140176. On Instagram, through Movement. On Twitter, through Movement. It's through Movement as well. We are live.
Wow. Thank you so much. We talk again next week, all right?
Next week, Catherine. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to our listeners as well.
God bless you. God bless you. You know, next week we are talking about the issue of packing wrongs inside done by the spouse. Think about it, all right?
Okay.
God bless. All right.
Good night.
That is Lebo there. And of course, we are talking to the Apostle Sehumlokwane next.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.